Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our last class in the book of Mark. Now, in the book of Revelation, they describe four living creatures. Can anyone name all the four living creatures? What was the first living creature? Huh? What was the first one? An ox, is that right? The first one is like an oxen? Eagle? What was the first animal described in the book of Revelation, chapter 4? Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Let's turn to Revelation, chapter 4. Verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf, an oxen. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature is like a flying eagle. Right, flying eagle. So the first animal was what? Lion, right? Lion. And this lion, of course, in the book of Matthew represent what? What animal? Lion, right? Lion. Then the second animal is what? Oxen, right? Oxen, or calf. Oxen. So the book of Mark represent what? What animal? Oxen. And what about the book of Luke represent what? Man, what kind of man, but what? A face of a man, right? A man is very different than a face of a man, right? Because when you look at the face of man, actually you look at what? God's image, God's glory, right? What about the last one? Eagle, what kind of eagle? Sitting eagle? Flying eagle, right? Flying eagle. Because an eagle sitting in his nest, they look okay, but a flying eagle looks much better, right? Looks much better. So which animal would you think is the best out of the four? Of course, the book of John represents what? The eagle, right? The flying eagle, the book of John. So what animal do you think is the best? Sisters, what do you think? What animal you preferred if you were going to be one of the animals? Huh? Eagle. What's that? A man. Of course, this man is not man in the sense that it's a male man, right? It's anthropos, right? Human being, right? Human being, that's man, right? Human being. That's it? What about Lucius Christ? What kind of animals would a Lucius Christ would be? Huh? Oxen? What's that? All four, exactly. Actually, you and I should also be all four. Why? Because a lion, what is the characteristic of a lion? Loud. Okay. Hyenas are quite loud too, right? But what is the characteristic of a lion? What are they known them for? Known for? Huh? Bravery, right? Bravery. But the thing is, a lion, if he's only a lion, you ever see on like National Geographic, a male lion. Is he diligent or lazy? Lazy. Oh, yeah. A male lion is so lazy. It's very brave, right? But it's always sitting. He doesn't do anything until, you know, all the other female lions kill the prey, whatever. And then the male lion would go there and take the food away. Then the male lion, when he gets hungry, guess what? What does he eat when he gets really hungry? He eats all the little cubs. Or little baby cubs, because he's so lazy, right? So you cannot be a lion, right? Only. Because if you're a lion, you're so brave and stuff like that, you sit home and do nothing. What's the point? If you're a lion, you also must be like an oxen. Because when you're a lion, you're so brave, you sit home, do nothing, then what is the point? But when you're a lion, you must go out there just like an oxen. What is the characteristic of an oxen? Hardworking, yes. Hardworking. This is something that is rare to find nowadays in your generation, right? Because sometimes we are so lazy, right? Because this laziness also brings us to the point that, you know, we don't want to go out and preach the gospel. I mean, how many of you find yourself when you go to the mall, right? You'll be driving around the mall, you try to find a parking space right in front of the mall, right? Even the walk, maybe only 2-3 minutes, right? And how many of you, when you go out to fast food, you don't go in, you just go in the drive-thru, right? Because going in is too complicated, right? So many of us, actually, the society make us to become very lazy, right? Everything is fast food, everything is drive-through, and you know, and just everything is just make us very lazy. But you cannot be a true lion unless you also manifest a characteristic of an oxen. And then what happened if you, you know, you're very brave, you work very hard, and then you don't have a face like a man? So what's that mean, if you don't have a face like a man? Why men are different than animals? What's that? Okay, intelligence, that's very true. Okay, image of God, right? Men have image of God, right? God never say, I create this elephant, my own image, my own likeness, right? He didn't say that, right? But I see a lot of animals, they go with the instinct, right? Instinct. They do things not because they love to do that thing. But nowadays, that's why men also become like animals, right? We no longer have that manifest, that love of God, that, you know, that holiness, that righteousness of God anymore. But men, you can see animals, when they kill other animals, you cannot blame on them. Well, they just want to eat, they're hungry. Right? Now, men, if we are hungry, we don't just go and kill anybody for food, right? Even though sometimes we might do that, right? But then we become like an animal. Right? We are not human. So that's why it's so important, you and I, the characteristic, we need to read all four books in the gospel to be complete, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, when you and I, you know, work just like a lion, very brave, then we go out and work just like an oxen. But meanwhile, we must have gentleness. We must have love. If we don't have those things, then what is the point? But when we go out there, we're so brave, we work so hard, but we have no love for mankind. Then at the same time, you can be a lion, you can be an oxen, you can be like a man, a face like a man, and then what happened if you're not a flying eagle? What happened if you're not a flying eagle? This means spiritually you're not filled by God's spirit, and you do all those things will not be according to God's will. So that's why it's important you and I must manifest all the four characteristics of the four living creatures. But at your age, you think what two animals that we are most likely to be at your age? Huh? Lion, right? And then what else? Huh? Lion and what? A flying eagle? No, most likely we're like a lion and what? Oxen, right? We are very brave. We go out there. We work very hard. But quite often, we lack that love, right? Quite often, we look at a young minister that comes out when they talk, right? It's like a lion, just like an oxen. I was like that too when I first came out, right? But now I'm more like what? I'm more like face of a man. I'm more like a flying eagle, right? Trying to be like that, right? Because you need to show more love. You need to be more spiritual. Because to be a lion, to be an oxen, without having a face of a man and a flying eagle, and then actually we do not truly manifest the true characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now even though we're going to talk about the oxen, my oxen, let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. Okay, everybody understand the four living creatures? Right? Any questions? Any thought on that? So the gospel is the four living creature. And the gospel describes our Lord Jesus Christ from four different angles. And for my class, we're going to study the book of Mark, how Lord Jesus Christ is like just like an oxen. So if you're going to use one verse to describe the book of Mark, what verse would that be? What verse would that be? Chapter what? Chapter 10, verse? Yes. Okay, if you have one verse to describe the book of Mark, it's chapter 10, verse 45. Can you read it, sister, out loud, please? Amen. And chapter 10, verse 45 said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. This is an oxen. That is an oxen. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was God himself, but he came down just like a servant to serve you and I. So that's why the Last Supper, he girded himself just like a servant, get a basin of water and ready to wash his disciples' feet. And that's why Peter said, no, you're never going to wash my feet. Why? Because a master can never ever wash the disciples' feet. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, no, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So that's why Peter said, not only my feet, also my head and my hands. Why? Because Peter wanted to have part with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why it doesn't matter who we are, how great we become in church or in the world, we always should have this mentality that we are here to serve, not to be served. Really, that's what is the uniqueness of all the workers in TJC. No, when we go to Africa, all the other missionary goes there. Sometimes they take helicopters, right, from one place to the other. And sometimes, of course, they take limousine to go one place to the other. You know our minister, you know what we do? Yes, most of the time we walk. And maybe if we really, you know, if the place is super, super far away, of course, quite often the place is super far away, you can't even take bicycle because you have to walk up the mountain, things like that, right? But we usually take bicycle. And you know, in Africa, everybody smells there. That's normal to smell. So because when you ride a bicycle behind someone and that person smell, yeah, it's not really a good feeling. It's not a good, especially when you go and the wind is blowing at you, right? And the smell just coming towards you. And that's what we do. It'd be nice to ride a helicopter, right, and get there very quickly. It'd be nice to ride a limousine, right? This and that, but as a servant of God, we are no better than anyone. I remember one time, this sister, she was a truth seeker. And she has the baptismal site from where she lives is 7 hours away, walking by walking. Then, of course, this 7 hours away is not paved road like what we have here. It's all like full of different terrains, right? Like jungle, mountain, things like that. And she walked 4 o'clock in the morning to get to baptism that morning. Can you imagine that, right? Took her maybe out of 11:30, she got to the baptismal site from 4 o'clock in the morning. And now, you know, in the States, when you want to baptize a person, you like beg them, right? And some true Sikhs say, oh, what time are you going to get baptized? 9 a.m. Oh, it's too early, right? That's why I say too early. Can we make it 10 o'clock? Right? And sometimes you're like, okay, 10 o'clock. But, you know, if people want to get baptized, they have the desire to be saved, they would do anything. And also this one other time that the baptismal site, maybe about 2.5 hours away, and that's the last weekend me and the other pastor, you know, going to be in Africa. So we traveled the land already. We were so tired. So during the time, we ordered a taxi because it's 2.5 hours to walk. We're like, okay, let's order a taxi. And then when we ordered a taxi, and when we got into the taxi, then we saw our sisters, some of them carry 2 babies, one in front, one in the back, walking. And me and other pastors just look at one another like, yeah, how can we ride in this taxi? And these like 9, 10 sisters walking with like 2 kids each. So we got out of taxi and then we allowed the sisters to go in. Cannot fit all of them, but fit most of them. So when we told them, okay, you guys can take the taxi and go to the baptismal site, they cannot believe it. They say, no. You cannot do that. We say, no, we insist. You go ahead, take and stuff. And they start to cry. They were so touched. Why? Because for them, there's no white person ever done this for them. For us, no, even though we are dark, they think we are white. Right? And for them, they are so touched, and they cry and cry and cry because no one would do this kind of stuff for them. But for us, when we go there, we don't stay in a hotel. Wherever they live, that's where we stay. And quite often, you know, we stay there, there's snakes there and everything, but, you know, we just feel, you know, God will take care of us. I remember one time, this these brethren, I mean, they're quite wealthy, so they have like a little hut, a fancy hut, you know, with like futon stuff. And this futon they keep only for special guests. But when you look at the futon, that time, like, oh man, this futon is like black. I mean, it's not the color black, it's just so dirty. It's black, right? So we were saying to the, you know, to the brethren, it's like, oh no, no, you guys, you sleep on the futon. It's like, no, no, no. This futon is for special guests. So for us, I mean, for them, I mean, they just feel so, you know, feel so, I guess, they feel so fortunate that we stay at their place. Right? Because most, of course, other denomination where you go there, they don't stay in, you know, with the members in the hut. And quite often we just sleep outside. We don't even sleep in the hut. Because in the hut, they don't have windows. They just have very small window. You know why, right? What's that? Why they have only small window in their little hut? Why? Yeah, because they're afraid animals are going to come in at nighttime you sleep, right? But I couldn't breathe when I sleep in there, right? Because it's smelly, first of all, right? Because there's no air circulation, right? And I have migraine too, quite often. So I had to sleep out. I slept outside in the open square, right? But you know, you don't know snakes just come by you and stuff like that, right? But you know, thank God nothing happened. But what else? So this mattress. So I was with the senior minister. I say to the senior minister, hey, why don't you take the mattress, right? You know? And he said, no, you take the mattress. I say, you're the senior minister. It's like, that's why you need to listen to me. You take the mattress. So I slept on the mattress. The morning I woke up, my whole body was full of bites. I'm talking about my forehead, everywhere was full of bites. Then the senior minister looked at me and said, oh, I'm so sorry. Because he slept on the floor, like not too far away from me, right? And he said, tonight, you sleep on the floor and I sleep on the mattress, right? And then he slept on the mattress, I slept on the floor, I woke up, I got all new bites. And the senior minister had not even one bite on him, you know? And that's how God trained us, right? Because I was young, I mean, I'm still young, but I was younger back then. And, you know, I was full of energy and things like that. Even though I have all those bites, I didn't really care, right? I didn't really care. But you know, our members there, so many of them got baptized because they see Jesus in us. And one of the reasons why they see Jesus in us is because we eat with them, right? We sleep with them. We do everything with them. Even though we are ministers, we form the United States, you know, for us, it doesn't matter. We are still brethren. And that's why they're very touched. So that's why here, when you and I, especially when you start to become council members, when one day some of you will be ordained as deacons and deaconess, one thing always come to your mind, right? That, you know, you are here to serve, not to be served. And that's why all the TGC ministers, we are your servants. We are your servants. You are all the saints. We are God's servant and your servants. Always remember this. One day you become council members. So that's why, you know, in the book of Mark, the book of Mark portrays our Lord Jesus Christ as someone is very responsive and very diligent. So his ministry, the minute he got baptized, he went out preaching the gospel. He went out healing people. He went out saving souls. That's why he was just like an oxen. Okay, let's go to chapter 1, Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So that's why a lot of true seekers come to our church and ask, oh, what book should I read first? And what book should we usually tell them to read first? Huh? The book of John? No, definitely not the book of John. The book of John is very complicated. Huh? Yeah, the book of Mark, right? Because the book of Mark says here what? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, the book of Mark should be before the book of Matthew, but it's not. Why? Because the book of Mark actually is very simple to read, and it's all about servitude toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know there's a reason why Matthew comes first, because you need to be a lion, you need to be brave. You need to be brave before you can become an oxen. Because quite often if you're an oxen first, if you're not brave, then you're not going to go out and do anything. But you be brave, but also be like an ox and be diligent, right? Be diligent. So that's why here, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
So here, quite often we think about John the Baptist. What is the church teaching on John the Baptist? Who does John the Baptist represent? Who does John the Baptist represent? Okay, John the Baptist represents Elijah. Okay, what did Elijah do? For example, you know, we have plenty of churches in Africa, right? Were we the first one there? No. You know, if you read on the first missionary to go to Africa, you know what happened to them? They got killed, they got eaten. Yeah. So what happened now, when you go to Africa as a missionary, all the villages would be afraid of you. Because when they know you're a missionary, they're very afraid. Why? Because in the early years, usually they would just kill the missionary and then they eat them. Then when they start to eat them, there's a lot of plagues would come around, you know, come in that area and kill all the people in that area. So from then on, the people never heard a missionary when they're walking. So that's why a lot of places we go to, there's no tourists. We just go there and we preach in the deep jungle. And they know we're missionary because nobody is crazy enough to go there. So when we go there, it's to preach the gospel. And they really don't touch us. Because they know and experience early years that God sent so many plagues upon the villages. And this is what they told us. So that's why, of course, there's always some crazy people out there, right? So that's why before the sunset, we always try to find a place to stay, you know, that is very safe and things like that. Because at nighttime, a lot of robbery and things like that, right? So, but overall, they're very afraid of missionary. Why? Because there's so many missionaries before TJC when they prepare a way for us. So it's just like now, there's so many churches in the world, they also prepare in a way. But sometimes you and I, we don't feel that we are the one, right? Because here, John said what? There will be one, right, that I'm not worthy even to unstrap his sandals. See, this John is talking about you and I. All the other churches, they have appeared in a way. But if you and I do not think we the one will come to bring the true message to people, then of course sooner or later Christ will not use us anymore. So that's why we must have this kind of faith. But look at John the Baptist, how diligent he was. Because our Lord Jesus Christ said, those who are born of woman, nobody is greater than John the Baptist. But the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is our Lord Jesus Christ trying to say? What is our Lord Jesus Christ trying to say? Those who are born of woman, nobody is greater than John the Baptist. But the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is our Lord Jesus Christ saying? Anyone? Anyone? Yes. That's true. Salvation cannot be achieved by human effort. That's what you're saying, right? But what's that going to do with John the Baptist? Yes, exactly. So John the Baptist, out of a woman, right? He was born of a woman. He was the greatest. But you know what? The least one in the kingdom of heaven. Why the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he? Why? Because he's born of God. You understand? Because he's born of God. So those who are born of God, that means you and I are born of God. The least one of us is greater than anyone out there. So that's why now our church, maybe we have only 2,500 members. But some other churches maybe have 100,000 members. But you know what? I take one of our members over 100,000 their members. Do you understand? Because you and I have the true way of salvation. This is why we enter the kingdom of heaven. You can be the greatest, but you're born a woman. Sorry. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how great you are. But you can be the least one. But you get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, you enter the heavenly kingdom, you are the greatest. So we cannot forget that. You know, sometimes when we look at other denomination, right, they are much greater than we are. Yeah, from human perspective, it seems like that. But from God, there's only one way to be great. Let's turn to the book of book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13. You tell me how many ways to be born here, okay? How many ways to be born? John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. So how many ways can a person be born here? How many ways? Four, right? You say four or five. Four. What is the... Can you list the four? Yeah, born of blood. What's that mean? Huh? What's that mean to be born of blood? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, baptism. No. To be born of blood is natural, right? Naturally. When a woman and a man comes together, you're naturally born. Right? It's natural. Right? It's natural. But what does it mean to be born of the will of the flesh? What does it mean to be born of the will of the flesh? Huh? Carnal. Okay. So, yeah, sometime a woman and a man get together, right? Then you have a little one. Not because you want to, right? Not because you plan, but because your fleshy desire, right? That's what happened, right? So nowadays, you know how many babies been aborted every single year? You know how many? Anybody? 1.2 million babies in the United States be aborted every single year in the United States. That is a great genocide, right? But nobody talks about it. Okay. Most of the time, the reason, because why? Because the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh. Right? Children, young people between 16 to 25, because the will of the flesh, that's why they conceive, and then they have babies, but they don't want it. So let's abort it, right? This is what's going on, right? So what about the third one? The will of man. What does it mean, the will of man? Huh? What's that? Against their will or just their will? The will of man is like, okay, let's have a baby. Okay, let's have a baby, right? That's your will to have a baby, right? That's it, right? But to be born of God. So in other words, you can be born four different ways, but there's only one way to be born of God. For example, Ishmael, how was Ishmael born? The will of man. Why do we say the will of man? Huh? The will of a woman. Yeah, the will of a woman. Why we say it's the will of man? Why? Yeah, you can speak louder, right? Just speak louder. Yeah, so Sarah, she said to Abraham, I want to give you my maidservant, right? And Abraham said, oh, no, don't do that. Right? Abraham said, oh, thank you. That's what Abraham said, right? Thank you, right? So that's the will of man, right? And what else? What else? Huh? Yeah, everybody born of blood, yes. Yes, so the born of blood, will of man, and will of the flesh. naturally. For example, if you talk about spiritual speaking by a church, sometimes a church is established because people want to worship God. That is very natural, right? They want to worship God, so they establish a church. That is like, you know, be born of blood. Natural, right? Naturally, you want to build something to worship God. But some people, the reason they want to build a church, what? To make money. Right? To make money. That is the will of the flesh, to make money. That's why. And most of churches are like that. And the third one, the will of man. Hey, let's build this what? Let's build this church, right? What? For our own glory. We build this church to receive glory from people, right? And maybe it's not anything had about to do with money. But they want to build a name for themselves. Right? So this is, of course, we got to go spiritual speaking. For example, if you go to search our church, who's the founder of TJC? Holy Spirit. Well, how crazy that is, right? You understand? You can never find any other churches say the Holy Spirit is the founder of this church. You can never find that. Every other church, the founder is somebody's name. Right? Somebody's name. Now, I've been going to Hawaii about 10 years now. So the first 5 years or so, I keep going to Maui, right? And when I land in Maui, and I go to the service place. Then one day, I land, I saw this huge church with huge waterfall. Then I asked the brethren over there, I say, hey, what happened? You know, how did that church get established? You know, that pastor became multimillionaire within 5 years. And he built a huge church with waterfall and stuff like that. And he's making in the millions. So that's why one time I met this guy, and I told him I was a pastor, right? And he said, oh, how many churches you pastor? And I said, oh, I pastor a church in Dallas and Houston and Austin and Hawaii. I get, you know, Honolulu, Oahu, Maui. He's like, oh, wow, so nice to meet you. You must be a millionaire. That's what he said to me, right? Because you're so excited, right? Because I have all these churches, right? And I say, no. Yeah, we don't do it that way, right? We don't do it that way. So that's why when you're talking about, you know, Ishmael, first, he was born of blood. Second, he's born what? The will of the flesh. Why do we say the will of the flesh? You know, first, Abraham, he should say no, you understand? Abraham should have said no. But he, you know, for him, it's like, instead of saying no, he said thank you to Sarah, right? And it was her will, was Sarah's will. For, you know, for her for Abraham's concubine, her maidservant, to have babies. But how did Isaac was born? Huh? Okay, from God. Can anyone describe how Isaac was born? It's very important, right? If you want to know about, you know, the way to be born is according to God's will. So that's why when we're talking about John the Baptist, he prepared a way for the true salvation. But you and I must have faith. First, tell me exactly how Isaac was born. You'd be amazed. Well, you'd be amazed. And tell me how our Lord Jesus Christ was born. You also be amazed. And tell us how we were born. You understand? How you and I are born. How the church got established. You know what? Isaac, Alugis Christ, and TJC, be born exactly the same way. Let's go to Genesis 25. Oh, no, Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. I know we start in the book of Mark, but, you know, bear with me. Genesis 21, verse 1. Verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 2. And the Lord visits Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. So how did Sarah conceive? How did Sarah conceive? Huh? Yes. The Bible say what? The Lord visited Sarah. Abraham's not even in the picture, you understand? This is very unique, right? The Lord visits Sarah, and then what? And then Sarah conceived, and then Sarah bore Abraham a son. We bore Abraham a son. It's Abraham's son, you understand? But no, the Bible says in such a way to tell us that actually Isaac was born in a very ordinary way. That is, our Lord visited Sarah, and she conceived. It did not say Abraham visits Sarah and she conceived. It did not say that, right? It said our Lord visits Sarah and she conceived, then bore Abraham a son. And how did our Lord Jesus Christ conceive? Huh? Yes. The Holy Spirit, right, came upon Mary. Then she conceived. Very similar. What about TJC? How we were born? Yes. The Holy Spirit took one of the brethren, right? Bring him to the water and tell him, yeah, you must be baptized. Right? The Holy Spirit baptized him. Right? You know the story, right? That's very amazing. So that's why when people look at the origin of our church and they see no founders, when the founder is Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes they think we are crazy, right? But we are not. It's true. The founder is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, for us, you ever go to classes and they teach you about the founders of our church? No, right? I went to TTP for 3 years. Nobody ever taught me. I don't remember the names of the first three people, right? I know Barnabas Chung and Paul Wei and what's the other one? Something else, right? Right? Any other churches, if you become the minister in that church, you must know the history really well, right? Who founded this and that? But our church, who cares? Who cares? Why? Because Jesus Christ, the one that established this church. And you and I must realize that. Many other churches, they are born of blood. Naturally, they want to build a church. Fine, that's fine. And they're also born the world of flesh because they want to make money. You guys ever see this guy named Crefto Dollars? His last name is Dollars. Crefto Dollars, right? He built like a $25 million church in New York. And so he have another church in another place too. So he gives service in New York in the morning and afternoon he has his private jet and go to give sermon in another church too. Right? That's, you know, for us, when we go to different places, for example, we give sermon in Hillsborough, the next time we go to New York, we get drive over there and stuck in traffic for a long time. Right? It's very different, right? But a lot of people establish churches because they want to make money. Want to make money. And this one family, actually, they're very weak in faith, and the wife was very sick. And they want to, you know, they haven't come to church for a long time already. Actually, her husband is a believer, but the wife is not. So they try to find other churches to heal his wife. So they went to one church. First, they walk in, there's all fire come up to the side, right? All the walls full of fire, real fire, right, come up like that. So they sat down. The minute they sit down, there's five of them. You know, the brother, the sister, the mother, and two children. And they bring out the credit card swipe. You know, credit card, right? And the brother asked, oh, what's this for? I say, oh, you have to pay. So I forgot, it's like $40 per person. So swipe $40, and then the kids cannot sit here. They had to go to the classes. So $20 a piece for the kids. So 40, 120, 140, 160, right? Already, right? With five people, right? 160, right? And then halftime, intermission. Another a guy again came up with a credit card swipe, and the brother said, "What's this for?" Say, "Oh, this the first $40 is for the church. This is for the minister, for the pastor. Another $40 a piece, right?" This is how they do it. This is how they make money, right? And you know, on Crypto Dollars, you want to go see him? You have to wait for about 6 to 8 months to see him. It's a $100 ticket to go, right? And we are here. Everything is free here. Nobody want to come. That's why we should use reverse psychology, right? Charge people like $300, right? Because people feel like, wow, to come here is very special, right? So people can come here, right? Actually, this church is too small. That's why you only take 100 people, right, this year. But... So what we're saying that to be born of the flesh. People establish churches, right? Here and there, why? To make money. And also the will of men. Men just want to build something. So they, you know, maybe they want to build a church for their own glory, for their own purpose. Has nothing to do with God. So you know that many churches are like this. But you and I, we are born of God. Why? Because that's why the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Because we are born the right way. We are born the right way. And you must have faith to believe in that. If you don't have faith to believe in that, then you will not be motivated to work hard just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, let's go back to Mark. John the Baptist, he was very diligent. He prepared a way before our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like many churches in the world right now. You know, I interacted many other people from different denominations. A lot of them are nice. A lot of them are such nice people. Some of them, their characteristic is bad in us. Really? First, when it comes to charity works, right? Do you and I do charity work? How many of you the last time you go feed the homeless? Raise your hands. Unless you feed home. Okay, about 3 of you go feed the homeless. How long ago? Joseph, how long ago? 8 years ago. So how many of you have feed the homeless 10 years? You can see, right? You and I, we do very little. If you go to other churches, right? They do so many charity works. Put us to shame. But you know what? For us, of course, we need to do that. No, there's no doubt you and I need to do that. But if you're in Taiwan, right, there's a lot of people do charity in Taiwan because we have a lot of workers and members. But for you and I, actually, quite often, we can't even keep our faith stable. Never mind to go out and preach to others. Really, it's like this. But it should not be this way, right? We have to go out and preach the gospel just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Actually, let's do verse 3 first. I want a little bit to go into verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You can see John the Baptist, he knew his purpose. So because of this, when our Lord Jesus Christ came in the picture, he said, I must decrease, he must increase. So that's why, you know, when it comes to our church, many churches cannot say this. Yes, God used them to prepare a way, but now God has bring the true way of salvation. But it would be very difficult for them to be humble. Why? Because look at all of us here, right? Besides Joseph, who else? Joseph is mixed, right? Anybody else Caucasian here? Anybody? I don't see anybody. Everybody's Asian. All Asian, everybody's Asian, right? You think that they will believe, you know, an Asian person if you have the truth? You think so? I remember one time we had a Pacifica church. We did this Fox Festival, so we would get a booth. So one time this Caucasian guy, he came and he's a monk, right? He had no shoes on and he had the yellow and orange robe and stuff like that. And he looked at us. He's like, brothers, say, what happened to you guys? That's what he said. He's like, no, we're supposed to worship Buddha, right? Not Jesus, right? And it was very funny, right? He was very funny. But, you know, I mean, because for him, he assumed that, look, we're Asian, we worship, you know, Buddha, not Jesus. So the same thing with my mother. You know, my adopted mother, she's Greek Orthodox, like she's Greek, right? So even though I'm a pastor, right? But quite often when I remember the last time I talked to her, she's like, yeah, my friend is coming over to the house. Woody, you should talk to her because she can teach you many things about the Bible. And that's what she said to me, you know? And okay, sure, you know? But for her, she just think, look, being Asian, we don't know about Jesus. Being Asian, right? We don't know about Jesus. So that's why those who come to our church and have faith to stay in it, they truly have faith to see Jesus and not people. Because God, he always does things like this, right? I mean, think about this. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, right? Why do our bodies shake and, you know, we have to say these things that scare people away, right? That's what we think, right? Can you imagine if we are filled with Holy Spirit, we smell so good, right? Why can't our Lord Jesus Christ do that? Somebody walk by like, oh man, this smell is unbelievable. What kind of cologne you put on? No, it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You understand? But no, Jesus would make us shake like this and this, right? And why? Because you need to have faith to believe that is the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So don't feel scared. Oh, when people come, we don't want to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because we scared people away. But did the Bible say the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that scared people away? No. The Holy Spirit to comfort people, right? To bring them to the truth. That is the Holy Spirit. But you and I must have faith. If you and I don't have faith, and then when we kneel down and pray, you know what? We will scare people. We will scare people. I always tell this testimony about my niece Evelyn. When she first came to that church, I took her to Sacramento. And during the time on my way there to Sacramento, I'm like, God, please, don't let my niece pray in front of this sister. This one sister, she prayed very loud. I think you probably know it, Felicia. She prayed very loud, right? And I say, God, please. So I call, I say, okay, everybody come out and pray. And guess what? My niece prayed right in front of the sister. And that sister that morning, she prayed extra loud. Extra loud. And so I was like, oh, God, no, right? And then I got up. My niece said, oh, he said, Uncle, your church prayer sounds so beautiful, especially the sister praying behind me. And from then on, you know what? You know, I never ever care. Wherever we go, we pray in the Spirit, because if God moves your heart, God will do it. It doesn't matter. But if you and I don't have the faith, that's why God tell me, look, you know, you are a pastor and you're afraid that if people pray loud, they're going to scare you, scare people. But God said, no. God moved the heart of my niece. And that time, of course, she received the Holy Spirit and everything too afterward. So that's why for us, we must have that kind of faith. That kind of faith. So that's why when we, go back here, look, a lot of other churches are not willing. For what? Not willing to humble themselves when they hear the truth. I remember when I was in Vancouver on my way back to to San Jose, and I was so exhausted because during that time we had seminars over there too. I was really tired. And then the immigration guy asked me, oh, what were you doing in Vancouver? I said, oh, I'm a pastor, and we had seminars and things like that. And I would just answer him very frankly. I didn't really think anything of it. Then he's like, oh, what's the name of your church? I say, True Jesus Church. And he took my passport away. He took my passport, like, what's the name of your church? I say, True Jesus Church. He's like, and he started arguing with me. He's like, why you name your church True? Why is this? What, you think I go to church True? You think my church is not True? And all kinds of stuff. Like, listen, I just want to go home. he's at an immigration, little box thingy, right? And he's arguing with me. And he would not give my passport. He was so upset. Right? I was so upset. But of course, thank God, 5 minutes later, he gave me my passport and just go, It's not time to argue, right? It's not time to argue. But a lot of people feel like this, especially being Asian, right? Really, when people ask me, what do? I tell them I'm a pastor. Guess what the first thing they do when I tell them I'm a pastor? Huh? Yes, they preach to me. They preach to me, you understand? Because us being Asians like this. But God is always very unique, right? God, he always take things like no other human thought about, right? But right now, look at in Europe, right? Last week, I met a couple from Sweden. And we're talking about Christianity and things like that. But in Europe right now, nobody really go to church anymore. Right? Nobody go to church anymore. And I share with her how, United States passed the same-sex marriage. She's like, oh, you guys never have same-sex marriage before? I'm like, no. She's like, oh, in Sweden, they've been having it for decades already, right? And guess what countries that Christianity is like growing like crazy? Where? In Asia, right? It's in Asia. It's really amazing, right? But actually, all the country that they supposed to have strong faith in Jesus Christ and stuff, actually, nobody cares about Jesus anymore. Nobody worships Jesus anymore. And that's the way it is. And that's how God intended to be. And for us, look, right? We speak Chinese, we speak English, and we speak what? Spanish, right? That is the three languages that we are focusing on. Within 15 to 20 years, the whole world is going to speak only these three languages. Really, it's like this. So for us, God prepared us to preach the gospel into the whole world. So that's why John the Baptist, he must humble himself. Because you know what? Jesus is here. Other churches must humble themselves because we bring in the truth. But if they don't humble themselves, they never can see that truth. And you and I must have that kind of faith. You and I must have that kind of faith. I was baptized 3 times in other churches. When I come to our church, there's no doubt this church is true church of God. No, when I go to the Greek Orthodox Church, that time was in South Boston, right? It's huge. You fit like 1,000 people. And all the pews, all solid oaks, like 100 years old, right? And the priest came out, beautiful robe, right? And have golden shawl on him, right? And have a big hat, right? And then this, the the boy, the, I don't know what you call them, the boy that carried the Bible, and the priest. I mean, the altar boy is more like for for a Catholic, you know, but for the Greek, I don't know what they call them, but Bible boy. So the Bible's, the outside is all gold. It's all gold. So the little boy just go like this when he reads on this. Like that, right? And then when the priest have something important to say, he would go into this step ladder, which is like all the way up where the projector is. He would go and speak to the audience like that, right? So, and then when the priest, when he never turned towards you. He always, his back is always towards you. But the minute he turned towards you, Abraham had to stand up, right? So it's very majestic, you know? And he speak in Hebrews and Latin and that kind of stuff, right? And Greek, of course, right? And then when I come to TJC, the first service I went to, went down to the basement, right? And then what, I say, where's the preacher? No, they wheel out the television. Back then, VCR, right? Not even DVD player, VCR, right? And then all the chairs, all those, you know, metal chairs, all rusty and things like that, right? Then I sit there like, boy, this is very strange, right? And plus, you watch the TV, it's like very snowy, right? VCR is very snowy. And then, of course, speaking in Chinese and translate to English, right? And sometimes you can't even understand what the translator is saying. Not because, actually, the translation is pretty good. But it just the audio, right, is really bad. The recording is really bad. But you know what? I cry during that first service. The only time that I cry in the Greek Orthodox Church, when they come out with the incense. Because my eyes got so irritated, right, and burned, I cry, right? Really. And that's when you realize, actually, the truth, yes, even though for us, right, just like when Jesus Christ was born, where did the angels say they will find a Savior? Where? In the inn? In the inn? No. In a manger, right? In the inn, there's no more room. Inn is very fancy, right? But where, you know, where the manger is, where donkeys and stuff being born, right, they're going to find a Savior. So now, what do you want to find Savior? Simplicity. Like simple place, just like our church. That's why it's so important for all of you to read more, right? Read the Bible more and you will realize that our church has a complete truth. Has a complete truth. But we don't read the Bible, we see so many things with our physical eyes. Then of course we see, look, our brother and sister so unloving, right? And all these years we've been here, what? Where's the first church in the United States? Where? Where? Hawaii, yes. 1939 in Hawaii. And now we've been here for how many years? We have only 2,500 members. That's very strange, right? When you look at that, plus we're all Asian. Most of us are Asian, right? Most of us are Asian. When people enter the, you know, the chapel, they look and all they see is black hair everywhere, right? But you know what? This is a true church. You cannot look at things with the physical eyesight. You must look with the spiritual eyesight. You will see things that no one else can see. That's what all of us need to do. Okay, that's what all of us need to do. So John the Baptist, thank God. John the Baptist prepared the way. But you know what? We thank God even more. Because we will bring the true salvation to mankind. And this is the way to save mankind. But you and I must have faith and believe in it. Because if you and I don't believe in it, why would we go out there and serve our Lord Jesus Christ? We won't. Let's read verse 7. Read verse 7. I mean, okay, let's read verse 5 first, verse 5. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sin. You can see, right? So a lot of people, they want to find a way for salvation. And many people went to John the Baptist, just like there's so many people nowadays are Christian. So many. But they went there, but actually only what? The remission of sin, right? The repentance of sin. Repentance, not remission. And then look at John. Let's see verse 7. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I,
whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose.
See, John truly understands that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and he can be the one. And he is not worthy to even stoop down and loose his sandal strap, just like for us. We're just like for us. But you know what? Because you and I, because we don't have that kind of faith to believe that God has given us the true salvation. Felicia, remember the Russian family, right? And they came to our church, right? And of course, the English was really bad. I mean, they cannot really understand English. But every time they came to church, they would bring a recorder and record the sermon in our church. Then they would go back to their home and they would, what? They would pay a translator to translate the sermon for them. Because they found our church to be some, they just say that our church is so unbelievable true. They just, you know, and then when I went to visit them, when I go to visit them, they had to hire a translator. They pay like $80-$100 for a translator to visit them. How many of us would do that? Actually, when the minister wants to visit us, you don't want them to go, right? And I remember one time I went there with the Essential Doctrine book. I went there and I was talking to them, and one of the guy keep looking at the Essential Doctrine book, keep looking at like, oh, I like, do you want this? And he's like, yes. And he's like, please, can you give it to me? Can you give it to me? I'm like, sure, I can give it to you, right? But when I gave it to him, he was so excited. He was so excited. He read through it. Then, of course, several months later, you know, I continued to visit him. He marked everything in there, right? This and that. How many of you have Essential Doctrine in your house? Do you open it up and read it? And you mark it? Do you read it? Actually, quite often, you and I don't appreciate those kind of stuff that we have. Actually, this person, by the time I left Sacramento, the whole book is all written, right? He's all have mark and stuff on why, because for him, he knew that our church is really the true church of God. But because he didn't speak English and we don't speak Russian, so that's why they stopped coming, right? Because they cannot spend all the money every week, right, to translate things like that, right? But that was sad, but nevertheless, no, for us. And I remember one time too, I bought a condo, right, in a townhouse in San Jose. And this guy came to fix some of the things at my house. And he asked me, what do I do? I say, I'm a pastor. Then, of course, he started preaching to me, right? Then he said to me, you know when you baptize a person, you know how you should, and what name you baptize a person? That's what he said to me, right? I said, yes, we baptize in the name of Jesus. He's like, what? He's like, yes, we baptize in the name of Jesus because the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Jesus. He almost fell down. He's like, 6 months ago, our church was revealed by God to baptize in the name of Jesus. I say, we have been doing this since 1917, you know? And then he said to me, how do you know you received the Holy Spirit? I say, speak in tongue. He's like, what? He was completely in shock. I said, yeah, we have done this since 1917. And that 6 months ago, the same thing. God revealed to them two things. Baptize in the name of Jesus, and those who receive the Holy Spirit speak in tongue. And when I told him that, he could not believe it. He could not believe it. Because he was so excited to share with me, right? But I just interrupt him, right? Then of course, you know. But you can see that God really moved other churches also to come to know the truth. To come to know the truth. And sooner or later, God will open their hearts to know the complete truth, and then we all become one, onefold. Okay? So, but make sure you last until then, right? Right now, we are waiting for this church to be glorified. But in the waiting process, make sure you don't build a golden calf and worship it, right? And make sure you don't lose your soul to the things of this world. Make sure you're not deceived by false doctrines. While you're waiting, prepare yourself. While you're waiting, read the Bible and know the truth. Because the false prophet will come among us. So that's why for us, when we think about John the Baptist, he knows. And that's why look at in verse 8. Indeed, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's so important. The first thing, when other denominations come to our church, the first thing you and I should pray for them is for them to receive the Holy Spirit. When you and I pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they receive the Holy Spirit, then their minds will open up. They will see things very clearly. So that's why John said, look, I baptize you with water, but the one that's coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So instead of being scared when people come to our church, that we kneel down and pray, we might scare them away. Instead, have the faith to pray that if I pray for this person will receive the Holy Spirit. If they receive the Holy Spirit, God will guide them to the truth and know that this is the church of God. They will know. Just like for me. Really, just like for me. The reason why I'm so bold in saying what I say to you right now, because I experienced it. I went through it. Because I studied philosophy and psychology, right? When I came to this church, of course they say, we're the true church, we're the true church, right? Like, oh yeah, whatever, right? That's what I thought in my head. Because, you know, of course I studied philosophy, I like to argue, right? But all the time in Boston, all the sisters, they were there, they're so shy, right? When I say something, they're like, oh. You know? So they didn't give me a chance to argue. They just tell me, you know, why don't you read our doctrines, right? So of course, at first when I read the doctrine, I just want to prove, you know, that what they're doing is wrong, right? The doctrine they have is wrong, it's false, things like that. But the more I read it, I realize, wow, these doctrines are very beautiful. They're very beautiful. Then after I receive the Holy Spirit, even more so, even more so. So that's why for us, really, we must have faith. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. It's the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And the same Spirit also will move us to conquer many souls for our Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I must have faith. If we don't have faith, look at John the Baptist. He knew very clearly, and I'm sure also, that one day God will move the hearts of all the denomination. They will see what is the truth and will be there for them. For example, for the Jews, what if the Jews would become Christian? What two things that church must have for them to become a Christian? For the Jewish people, right? What must the church have for them to be part of being Christian? What two things? Yes. Sabbath, right? For the Jews, they've been doing this for generation for generation. That church must have Sabbath. Guess who has it? Us, right? Okay. And then what else? Guess what else? What else? What else? What else? You guys can have free dessert if you get it right. What is the next one? Come on. Huh? What about God? Yes, one true God. One true God. One true God. You know, other Christian denomination, because we have one true God, they say that we are a cult. But for the Jews, when you believe one true God, that's the church I'm going to go to. Because for them, there's only one God. That's why when Jesus said, I'm his son, he started to stone Jesus, right? Because he's saying that he is God. There's only one God. So for you and I, we really must take this to heart and have the faith, right? Have the faith. Yes, many things will arise and many false doctrines will come. But you and I must continue to understand the deep meaning and the truth that God has revealed to us. And you must have faith. As long as we do that, this church will be glorified sooner or later. Now let's all rise and sing one hymn. Let's sing hymn 64.